Hey, this is Larry the Cable Guy, and you are listening to Hope for the Caregivers with Peter Rosenberg. And if you're not listening to it, you're a communist. Get it done.
Welcome to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberg, and this is the show for you as a family caregiver. How are you doing? How are you holding up? What's going on with you? 65 million Americans right now serve as a family caregiver. If you're one of them, you understand the journey. And we're glad to have you as part of this show to talk about ways to strengthen the family caregiver. Now, maybe you're taking care of an aging loved one. Maybe you're taking care of a special needs child. Maybe you have a family member dealing with some type of trauma, mental illness, addiction, alcoholism, whatever the impairment, there's always a caregiver. And we understand that the journey can be fraught with challenges, dangers, heartache, many dangers, toils, and snares. How do you help those who help those? And that's what the show is all about. I'm bringing you 35 years of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. And with me always is himself from Nashville. He is the Baron of the Board, the Sultan of Sound, the Earl of Engineering. He's John Butler, and you love him.
Oh, thank you. Oh, hey. All right. Yes, wonderful. Hello. I did not realize I had theme music today, but why are
you
doing
today,
baby?
John, I'm fine. I'm warming up. It was 18 below last night, and I chipped my tooth on soup. I chipped my tooth on soup. You know, it's
fantastic.
So cold. Politicians are keeping their hands in their own pockets. I mean, it is cold out there.
Man.
And we went to Billings this week. I'm out in Montana, and went to Billings to see a specialist with Gracie and also get her prosthetic legs worked on. And we spent the night over there, and I was out walking the dog at night, and you know, and I had to take a hammer and chisel him off the fire hydrant. I mean, it's cold.
Man,
we got drums. Do we got a rib shot on that end?
Somebody.
We got crickets. Well, John, how are you feeling?
Oh, I am fantastic. But I had a buddy of mine got a little sick and couldn't work for a little while. So he had problems with his water bill, right? So I sent him a get well soon card.
Get a well soon. Okay, good. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I was tracking with it. I knew it was going somewhere. Somewhere.
And
I'm sad I followed it.
Yeah, me too. You know, that makes two of us. No, I'm doing pretty well. Still doing distance learning with the kids, but that just means I get to, I get to hang out with my kids all day.
That is great.
It is pretty nice.
Well, we love humor on the show.
Well, and humor is a very serious business around here.
We aspire to it. We haven't quite attained it, but we do aspire
exactly.
to it. Yeah. Well, I had a lady that I've connected with this week, and the title of her book prompted me to call her. Okay. I mean, it was just that simple. And her name is Ellen Ritberg. She's an attorney. But she's also a writer, an author, and a caregiver. And her book is called "Why Is Grandma Naked?" Caring for Your Aging Parent. And I thought
you were right. You were right.
Yeah. And so I just love that. So Ellen is with us right now. Ellen, how are you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling great. Thank you for having me.
We are thrilled to have you, and this is John Butler with us. John and I have done the show together for now, 8 years this year,
something.
And he's helped produce it and joins me with it, and so it's just a pleasure to have you here. And tell us a little bit about your background before we get into this book, and just what brings you to this point, and then we'll get into the book, which I think is the best. You win the award today for the best title of book. I mean, I just love that. Why Is Grandma Naked? Caring for Your Aging Parent. And this will be out next month. But tell us a little bit about your journey and your life first.
I sure will. So my mom was in her late 80s, living in her house by herself. And I was staying there. Actually, I moved in temporarily after she broke her hip. And when she came out of the rehabilitation center, I just started noticing some things about mom that just weren't quite right. And I was all set to move out. Before I realized that, I was all set to move out, you know, go to my next place where I was going to live. I had sold my own home, and I realized I couldn't leave Mom. And so I ended up staying there for 6 years. And I write humorous essays. I have a previous book called 35 Things Your Teen Won't Tell You, So I Will. And actually, it's published by, from where you're from, Nashville, Tennessee, Turner Publishing. And at the time, I didn't always see humor in the situations that I was in. Lots of stress. Mom declined. I was there for 6 years. She ended up dying in her home, which is what I had hoped I could attain for her. At the time, I also was a full-time attorney representing senior citizens. But what I realized, Peter, was that everything I knew, my work experience, was of absolutely no help to me in dealing with my own mother. I was in, to use the expression, virgin territory. Just so many things just came upon me and comes upon caregivers. What is stress? Stress is the unexpected. And I like to say, if we have no stress, we're probably dead, because stress is just a part of life. But as a caregiver, the level of stress when you're dealing with something new and unfamiliar to you as a caregiver to somebody who's suddenly altered in personality and physical form, you have to make all kinds of adjustments. And so I did. And I just started to see the humor in it after the fact. And I said, I've got to share this with people. People are so, so stressed out. And it takes a lot. I don't have to tell you, you've done it for 35 years. And I regard the time I was with my mom as a blessing. And it was life transforming. And I want to share with the readers what worked for me and what didn't work for me. And it is coming out March. Mm-hmm.
Did you have a pretty good sense of humor before all this?
Well, you know, it's funny. You'd have to ask other people. I know how to write funny. And as a journalist, my first career was a journalist. And beginner's luck, I wrote an essay. And it ended up, my first essay ended up in the New York Times. And
hey.
Through the years, that made me feel like maybe I should keep doing this, you know.
Yeah,
and
you know.
Reader's Digest asked me to write a piece. Actually, I started to be regarded as a parenting expert, and I was quoted a lot. And I got I was contacted by Reader's Digest, and they said, "Can you write something about some tips for grandparents?" So I'm in Reader's Digest and HuffPost and, you know, on TV shows, and it was all really exciting, but it was a humorous book. And I just saw that there were so many things that I could share that after the fact, I see the humor in them. Sometimes I saw it at the time, but not usually, because I was too stressed out. And so I detail them.
Yeah,
I detail them from A to Z. There's actually, I actually have 40 short chapters, because sometimes there was something that began with the letter C, for example, and I had more than one entry, so I have C1, C2, C3. And I say in my book, look, in New York City, they have a street called 6½ Street. So if New York City has a 6½ Street, I can have more than one letter of the alphabet in my chapters.
Well, I think that's a fine rule. By the way, you're from, I learned this today, John, she's from Long Island, but there's a better way to pronounce Long Island than what I'm used to. I'm used to saying Long Island, but that's not how you pronounce it, John. Did you know that?
I did not know that. Is there a reason?
Ellen, tell us
okay.
How you pronounce it.
Okay. It's the only way I know how to say it, which is, I'm from Long Island. One word.
Long Island.
Yes.
Long Island, like G-U-Y. I don't have to.
Yeah. Long Island.
Long Island.
Well, now, when you set out to write this book, your mom has passed away. And
yes.
How long did you take between that and starting this book?
It was like a year and a half, 2 years. I had to wait that long. I started to, you know, write it down, jot down things I remembered, and then it all started flowing back to me. And I said, yeah, I've got this. And then working on it, and, you know, anybody that writes knows you write a draft, you redo it, you know, and it's ready. It's ready for the universe.
Well, was it painful for you, or was it cathartic, or all the above?
You know, I think that's a wonderful question, because yes, it was cathartic. I write poetry, so I did write some poems about Mom, and the tears were flowing down my face, you know, as I wrote them, and I wrote a eulogy for my mom, but, you know, but there were so many funny things that had happened, in part because of the type of person that she was and how she changed, which if you want, I can tell you a couple of things, but I think they pertain not just to my mom, but okay. My mom was a very, very quiet person. And very, I almost say, would say dignified. She didn't have, maybe she didn't have much of a sense of humor. She didn't laugh easily, shall we say, and she didn't smile easily. Well, as she declined, she suddenly developed this sense of humor for example, the progressive insurance lady on TV. She loved the progressive insurance lady.
Yeah.
She would call me in. She would call me in. I would be at the other end of the house. Ellen, come see her. And it's this lady, if you're not familiar, she wears all white, and she has a red headband, and I can tell you what she looks like in my sleep because Mom called me over many a time to tell me about the progressive insurance lady. And my mom had this whole scenario. She said to me, oh, look, she's pregnant, and see how they're trying to hide it? You know, I the producer must be trying to hide it. And my son told me, my mother had this thing for the Trivago guy, and she had this story about the Trivago guy, that he used to be a little messy, and his producer fixed him up. And I don't know where Mom would get these stories, and she was convinced of the truth of them. And at the beginning, I would almost, like, try to convince her she was wrong, because I didn't realize they were just made up from cloth. But it's really funny, you know, this kind of person who's...
Well, that brings me to a point when you said you tried to convince her she's wrong, and then you realized, wait a minute, I don't need to convince her she's wrong. Talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
Another thing about my mom was mom didn't have my cheerful disposition. She always, you know, thought that people, she might think, why did the receptionist in the physical therapist office not, you know, she doesn't like me. She didn't smile at me. I said to Mom, you know, if you smiled, she'd smile back, you know, and that kind of thing. But I think that she would take an incident that happened sometimes 40 years ago, and she would just sort of bring it into the future. One day, Mom, when she was still driving, but she had already started to decline, came home from going to the supermarket, and she said to me, you're not going to believe what happened. I saw Mrs. G, and Mrs. G was somebody that Mom had been in a religious school carpool with around 40 years before. Mrs. G was in the car next to me, sitting with her daughter, and she looked over to me and said, she looks really old. I said, Mom, Mrs. G only went one of two places. She's gone to a better place, meaning she died, or she went to Florida, which is where a lot of older people go. So wait, I went further. I actually brought Mom over to the computer. I said, let's look it up. Let's Google Mrs. G's name. And sure enough, there was Mrs. G's name, and she was alive, and she was living in Florida. And it was wintertime, so Mrs. G wasn't up here for the winter. It didn't happen. But my mother was convinced that she – and I lay out in my book in very humorous detail – it might have been one of three things. It may have been somebody that said somebody looked old, but it wasn't Mrs. G and her daughter. It was just some stranger. It may have been Mrs. G, it couldn't have been Mrs. G. But I actually try to convince my mom that that couldn't have happened, Mom. And you look great because people keep stopping you on the street to tell you how beautiful you are, which means either I look older than my age or you're just very beautiful. I didn't tell her I look older than my age. My mother was a beautiful older woman. So that's one story that's in my book.
Oh yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah,
and those are wonderful stories, and it's interesting to listen to how you changed from starting to you had to adapt to this changing personality of hers that seemed to be changing fairly rapidly, and it was and I'm sure you unpack that more in the book. We're talking here with Ellen Ritberg. She's the author of Why Is Grandma Naked? Caring for Your Aging Parent. I just love the title of this book. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. This is the show for you as a family caregiver. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Healthy caregivers make better caregivers, and that's part of our journey here today. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Peter Rosenberger, and in my 3 decades as a caregiver, I have spent my share of nights in a hospital trying to sleep in waiting rooms, on fold-out cots and chairs, and even the floor. You know, as caregivers, we have to sleep in uncomfortable places, but we don't have to be miserable. Do what we're doing in my home by using pillows from MyPillow.com. These things are great. They have a patented interlocking fill that adjusts to your individual sleep needs, and for caregivers trying to sleep in a hospital room chair, believe me, our individual sleep needs get ramped up significantly. You know, I've never liked taking pillows from home to the hospital with me because I never felt like I could get them clean again. But with pillows from MyPillow.com, you can throw them in the washer and dryer. They got a 10-year warranty, guaranteed not to go flat, 60-day money-back guarantee. They're made in the USA. As a caregiver, you need rest. So start by going to MyPillow.com, type in the promo code CAREGIVER, and get 50% off the 4-pack, which includes 2 premium pillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows. You'll receive a discount on anything else on the website when using your promo code CAREGIVER. That's MyPillow.com, promo code CAREGIVER.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me. But over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies, and with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger. This is the show for you as a family caregiver. There's nothing quite like what we do out there, reaching into the heartache and the isolation and the challenges of being a family caregiver, connecting you with others who have journeyed down this and bringing a lifetime of experience to offer a lifeline to you as a fellow caregiver. And caregiving is hard enough. It's harder when you're doing it alone. And we're glad that you're with us. We're talking with Ellen Ritberg. She is from Long Island. I learned how to say that today.
Yeah, Long Island.
Long Island. And she is she's an attorney. She's a journalist. She's an author. She's a caregiver. And her new book is called Why Is Grandma Naked? Caring for Your Aging Parent, which I love that. And I didn't tell John ahead of time.
No. Yeah, no,
because
that was,
I wanted just
going cold, you know. We, as we talked about earlier, we are big fans of humor and the way it can be used to really help out a family caregiver and get us through some really difficult times, or even just be able to process it afterward, like we were talking earlier. So I really appreciate you putting this kind of work out there. So, you know, thank you.
Thank you.
what this book comes out next month. Can you believe that spring is a month from Saturday? Can you
don't
believe
say
that?
Things like that. Yeah.
And out where I am in Southwest Montana up in the Rockies, spring seems like a distant construct here. In fact, it's so cold today.
How cold is it?
It's so cold that Starbucks is serving coffee on a stick.
Nice. Oh, okay, there you go.
There you go, Ed.
All
right. But anyway, no. So when this book comes out, and would you sit down to share this book with people and say, okay, this is my new book. Your publisher, your family, all that stuff. What was the response to the title?
Well, actually, I brainstormed the title with my two of my 3 kids, one of whom's a stand-up comedian. And
oh,
he helped me. Yeah, he helped me. We all like, you know, how about this? And we bandied things about just like we were comedians sitting in a writing room. And once we said, why is Grandma naked? It is perfect because that really happens. You know, I don't know if some of your caregivers that are caregivers of people who are older or who are suffering from dementia, you will find they want to take off their clothes, and they don't. they just start to
do it.
There's
anything wrong with that, yeah.
And the first time they do it, in Mom's house, because I moved in with Mom, she lived on two quite major streets in her community with a big picture window. And there she was standing at the bridge table, and not quite in the altogether, but certainly not in the state of dress that she would ever be in front of an open window. And I said, "What are you doing?"
And what? Just out of curiosity, what was her answer?
Of course, she gave me that kind of smile, which. You know, a shrug of the shoulder. She was very verbal then. She hadn't declined all that much, but those inhibitions just woof. They, you know, I can tell you a couple of ones that are just they go right out the window real fast. Would you like me to show you one of them, for example?
Oh yes, absolutely.
Keep it family friendly for John.
Okay, yeah, totally family friendly, but and it's not really gross, but they love to explore their nostrils and the insides of their mouths. Okay.
So the inside of I like that. I like a very well. We can tell you're a writer because that was a lovely wordsmithing on that one.
Descriptively, yes.
Nice image.
Well, you know,
exploring.
and I think what you've done in this book, Ellen, and I think it's going to I'd like to find out if you get this feedback. Indeed, I think what you're going to do in this book is help people. Not be so freaked out about some of this stuff.
I hope so. Yeah.
In fact, I'm almost certain of it. In that you're going, when the people are going to read this, are going to say, "Oh, okay, all right." So this is not abnormal. This is not something I need to go see a shrink about. This is something that's just part of the journey, and it's going to be okay. And I think you've done an amazing job of destigmatizing. Is that a word, John? Check
I was
that.
Going to say normalizing, destigmatizing.
Destigmatizing sounded so much more, you know. But you've normalized this a little bit and taken away a little bit of the embarrassment of sting or the uncomfortability of it, discomfort of it. How about that, John?
Yeah, because that was not a word. I can tell you.
Uncomfortability,
yes, that is correct.
But I like to make up things as I go along. But no, I think this is important, Ellen, because you were there and you have the ability. To use words to help other people to not freak out so much, and your words are comforting. They're engaging. They still ascribe dignity to the individuals.
Yes.
And help depressurize the fear that's in our own hearts of, oh my God, well you know this thing's coming off the rails. Well, yeah, it is a little bit, but that's okay. It's going to be all right. Your kids, how, by the way, I'd love to, was your son involved with any of your caregiving journey with his grandmother?
Well, they would come to visit, and they'd observe things, and sometimes they didn't realize something was happening, and I needed to explain to them, because Mom's decline, you know, they might have missed, I didn't always tell them, like, you know, Grandma is at this stage exactly, and they'd come to visit, and, For example, incontinence. Okay, incontinence. I have a nice chapter that's laugh out loud funny about incontinence, and they come to a point sometimes, unfortunately, where you think they're in pain and they're sitting at a table with their grandson or daughter, and my son turned to me and he said to Grandma, are you okay? Grandma was okay, but he was. Okay.
She was taking a moment there.
Yes.
You know, I love it. That's a wonderful phrase. Thank you.
One of your fellow Long Islanders, comedian Jim Brewer, was on our show some years ago, and he talked about that with his dad. He took his dad on the road with him when he was doing stuff, and I don't know if you remember him or not from Saturday Night Live and Tool Time and all these other things he's done, but it was just a wonderful tribute to his father. And yeah, he talked about it, but he did it so with so much humor and clever ways of saying it that it took away all the oh my God, and we're just like, oh yeah, this is just life. It's just life. And so I'm a big fan of stand-up comedians, so I we may have to have your son on the show as well, and because we love him, because humor is so critical to this journey. Mm-hmm. And I've said this often, Ellen, I'm going to leave you with this quote. I want to hear your response to it. As caregivers, we have no shortage of tears, but the laughter is very scarce. Respond to that really quickly, just 30 seconds or so.
It touches a place in your heart that's very, very different than any other experience, except maybe when you're a parent of very young children. It's this little, soft, and wonderful place.
Well said. A little soft and wonderful place. And that's where our humor can help us live a little bit easier in those places. This is Ellen Ritberg. Her website is at ellenritberg.com.
Ellen Ritberg, R-I-T-T-B-E-R-G.com,
and we'll link to this on the podcast. Grandma Naked? Caring for your aging parent. I love it. Ellen, thank you so much for being a part of the show today. I really appreciate you.
My pleasure.
All right, we're going to hear from you again. We'll be right back. This is Hope for the Caregiver.
Hey, this is Peter Rosenberger. Have you ever helped somebody walk for the first time? I've had that privilege many times through our organization, Standing with Hope. When my wife, Gracie, gave up both of her legs following this horrible wreck that she had as a teenager, and she tried to save them for years, and it just wouldn't work out, and finally she relinquished them and thought, wow, this is it. I mean, I don't have any legs anymore. What can God do with that? And then she had this vision for using prosthetic limbs as a means of sharing the gospel, to put legs on her fellow amputees, and that's what we've been doing now since 2005 with Standing with Hope. We work in the West African country of Ghana, and you can be a part of that through supplies, through supporting team members, through supporting the work that we're doing over there. You could designate a limb. There's all kinds of ways that you could be a part of giving the gift that keeps on walking at standingwithhope.com. Would you take a moment to go out to standingwithhope.com and see how you can give? They go walking and leaping and praising God. You can be a part of that at standingwithhope.com.
As a caregiver, think about all the legal documents you need. Power of attorney, a will, living wills, and so many more. Then think about such things as disputes about medical bills. What if, instead of shelling out hefty fees for a few days of legal help, you paid a monthly membership and got a law firm for life? Well, we're taking legal representation and making some revisions in the form of accessible, affordable, full-service coverage. Finally, you can live life knowing you have a lawyer in your back pocket who, at the same time, isn't emptying it. It's called Legal Shield, and it's practical, affordable, and a must for the family caregiver. Visit caregiverlegal.com. That's caregiverlegal.com. Isn't it about time someone started advocating for you? www.caregiverlegal.com, an independent associate.